home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Live from Hollywood, it's Rated LGBT Radio with your hosts, Garrett Miller and Rob Watson.
And I'm Rob.
And most of the time, I'm Garrett. So everybody, welcome back to Rated LGBT Radio. We've missed you. And we're thrilled to be back tonight for a live broadcast. Well, that's if you're listening at live at 7 o'clock California. We're live.
You should be listening live.
Yeah. But I don't really care if they listen on Memorex, Rob. I just care that they listen.
That's true. But, if they're listening live, I want to reward them with the feeling that they're doing the right thing right now. And if you're listening to this on recording, you are really the smart ones. There you go.
Well, you know, some people have a J-O-B at 7 o'clock. Some people might be caught in mid-traffic, and some people, you know, might be eating or doing something otherwise. And I can't fault them for that. But, you know, it would be easier if everybody ordered their lives around 7 o'clock on Thursday. Listen live. We get that. By the way, Rob, if you didn't notice, we have got a gaggle of new gays on the Rated LGBT Facebook page. So if you have been joining the group in the last couple of weeks, thank you very much. We love having you be part of that special group, and we encourage you to continue to look for updates. One thing I will tell you, though, is if, and here's us being selfish because we can do this. If you want to post about other shows or selling your jewelry or your Ray-Ban sunglasses or you post weird stuff, we don't let you do that. We are shamelessly promoting our show.
Yeah.
So get your own Facebook page or go whatever and tell us. Tell us about it. We'll like it and we'll leave a nice comment for you. But don't be selling your stuff on our page.
Unless you want to sponsor Rated LGBT Radio, and
you know, it's only $5 million an episode for the sponsorship.
Right.
So we're really cool if you want to. No, seriously, we've just had to post some weird stuff, and you know, we're all about supporting the LGBT community. We love that's why we do the show. But if you post stuff, we are not, because it has to go through Rob and I to approve it to get on there. We're not going to approve it. So don't try to sneak it on there because we see it before it gets on there. You know. Anyway, hey, we could talk all night about weird stuff, but because we'll do that after the half hour. But our first guest tonight, we're going to be bringing on in just a couple of moments. We have Jesse Brun Haran. I should have put my glasses on because I wrote it in my ink. I can, you know, usually see, and I can't do that. I'm going to have to wear my readers. This is really disappointing. We're going to find out from a healthy living expert and a spiritual adventurer. We're going to have Jesse join the show. He's got a podcast that's out here that is so much fun. I was listening to it before the show. It's the Jesse Brun Haran, Gay and Spiritual, and his latest episode is Change Your Mind About Life.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Jesse because, first of all, he has a great name. One of my sons is also named Jesse, so big affection, big kudo on the name there. But more than that, Jesse has been through so many lives in his short life. I mean, he went from a reality TV star who got fat shamed to a fitness expert to and somewhere in there he became a gourmet chef, and then he became a spiritual leader. I mean, it's like
he's done everything.
Wow. Yeah. So pet spirituality, and then he has some new stuff he was telling us about before that we're going to ask him about. So this man has put a lot in this lifetime so far. Let's put it that way.
Well, should we stop talking about him and actually just bring him on? Would that be okay?
Oh, it's more fun talking behind his back, but sure.
Okay, fine.
Dangerously.
Jesse, welcome to Rated LGBT Radio for the first and hopefully many times. How are you?
I'm really great. I feel exhausted after listening to you talk about me, but I'm like, my God.
But you're interesting, so we like to talk about you.
It's been a full life. I feel very blessed to have had all the experiences and opportunities that I've had. So
Jesse, I do want to dial back just a little bit because when we get into your present stuff, we'll never get back to it. But I was really fascinated to read a piece that you wrote on Huffington Post about being fat shamed very, very publicly on reality TV. Can you tell us a little bit about what that was about and what happened?
It was great.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was really awesome. You know, I've really contemplated it a lot, the experience a lot, because it was super insightful for me. And it taught me a lot about really how our beliefs about ourselves, they just manifest in our life in one way or another. And that's what that was, because I got to tell you, since I was probably 8 years old, I've really had sort of a body dysmorphia. And I always thought I was heavy. I always thought I was fat. And when I was in high school, I studied dancing. I was, you know, rail thin. But I mean, I remember by junior high, I was taking like diet pills so I could lose weight. And so it really manifested in some crazy body image stuff and a lot of self-worth based on body image. And so when and it was the second season of the TV show Workout on Bravo. I did 3 seasons of it. So the second season, in between, after the first season, we had some downtime, and I put on probably 10 pounds or 12 pounds or something like that, because it was actually, I'm sober now, actually about 9 years, and that was the last year of my drinking. And so there was a lot of partying happening. It was the first time I was on TV. I was getting invited to a lot of parties, and so I was drinking a lot. And, you know, eating like hangover food and all that stuff. And I gained some weight. And right before we started filming the second season, the producers told me, you know, we have to address this body, this weight issue. And I was like, I didn't realize there was a weight issue. What's happening? And it wasn't until I actually saw the episode where they would like, they showed me like shirtless, and then my stars of the show call me like disgusting or a fat pig, and then it like really snowballed, and I was getting hate mail, I was getting death threats because I had gained weight, like the worst thing a gay man could do on television. And it really messed with me. And what it did for me, I couldn't see it then, because my solution at the time was lose the weight, you know. And so I created this insane regime where I would run 6 miles in the morning. I had 2 personal trainers. I did spin classes and weight training. I was always exercising on supplements. I did everything but steroids to lose the weight and get the body that I wanted back. And I did, and I was very much rewarded for that. But it didn't address, you know, the real problem, which was, you know, kind of this feeling of unworthiness and this belief that I had to look a certain way in order to be, you know, to be worthy to even exist as a gay man in the world. And so I've done a lot of writing around that and a lot of talking about the needless pressure and this sort of insane belief system that a lot of gay men have about the importance of having, you know, low body fat percentage and a six pack abs, being very muscular and ripped. Because, you know, if you look at the ads these days, like they're getting skinnier and skinnier, and the bone structure in the face, and it's almost like you're either an emaciated version of a human being or this insane Adonis. And quite frankly, for me, for my body type and what I could pull off, that is not sustainable in any way. And quite frankly, more than an hour at the gym to me these days is just boring. And so it just wasn't how I wanted to live my life. So I had to do a lot of work around healing the belief that you have to look a certain way in order to be, you know, in order to have a place at the table, what that meant and why we feel like, you know, if we're not being desired by someone, that we might as well just disappear.
Yeah, and there was one thing that you wrote in the article. Well, you wrote a lot in the article, but the one piece that really stood out for me, and it stood out not just in the environment that you're talking about in terms of gay men and the gay psyche, but also just in humanity and our every individual's allegiance to our own egos. And you fell into this conundrum of, okay, great. Now I look perfect. Now I look sensational. So how in the world can I ever trust somebody loving me? Because they'll only love this egofied version of me that is really not you. It's all this effort that you're putting in to put out this image. And you could, I mean, essentially you're selling your soul for that image, because then you can never trust any love that you receive, because your ego is going to tell you it's all for the image. And if you don't keep that image up, the love that you would normally be your inheritance, you don't get. You don't get to keep. And I thought that was really profound.
Well, I mean, listen, you're opening the door to a whole if you have me here for like 12 and a half minutes, then like we have to cap it, because I mean, this leads to
we open that door a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, so. This leads to a conversation of ageism in the LGBTQ community. This leads to a conversation about I mean, really self-worth, self-value, developing a rich inner life. And quite frankly, you know, what I do professionally now full-time is I run a spiritual center for LGBTQ people in West Hollywood. And this is a major point of conversation that we have, because, you know, especially living in Los Angeles, it's like we have so many opportunities to transcend social belief systems that just are crazy. They're just wackadoodle. Like, you know, this idea of needing to have a certain amount of money, this idea of needing to look a certain way, this idea of needing to have a certain kind of job or status. And if you don't have that, then there's something wrong with you, or you're not worthy enough, or you have a lesser inherent value. These are things that really mess people up. And it's not a uniquely LGBTQ thing, you know, like you can't talk about like the pressures gay men have to have the perfect body without a woman in the room rolling her eyes at you, like, oh, really? How is that?
is that
challenging?
That right.
Oh, are you being sexualized? You know, and you know, I think that a lot of straight men have huge hangups over success and how much money they make and stuff like that, because it's really been implanted in our minds that there's certain things that you have to be or have to do in order to consider yourself successful.
Right.
And so that's really messed us up a lot.
Yeah, and it is across the board, and it's different. I am actually executive editor of a publication called The Good Men Project, and it is the man side of that. And it's not just status things. It's, you know, it's ability to clamp down emotions and, you know, be a man and do this, and it's very, very screwed up, because it's very off. And for men, it's a killer, because men commit suicide 3 times greater than women. So, and everything you're saying about women is true as well. So yeah, huge, huge stuff. I want to shift gears a little bit. You were telling us about some events today, and I'll just leave it open and let you fill in the gap there that you went through.
Well, this hellacious experience that I went through, because I am such a bargain shopper. The last TV show I did was on the Oprah Winfrey Network. I did 4 seasons of a show called Homemade Simple. Which I'll do my little plug. Won the Daytime Emmy Award for Best Lifestyle Program the last season I did. And what that experience did to me was it made me a total bargain shopper, because it was all about how can you sort of redecorate, like give your home a makeover, your life a makeover for, you know, on a budget that you can afford. So I'm really into finding good deals. And I got an email about this, like a crazy deal, like 21 classes or 21 days for like $50 at a new fitness studio called Fight Bike. And I have not been so close to throwing up in public as I was. And listen, I taught spin classes for years. You know, like I taught at Soul Cycle and I taught at Flywheel. I've been a personal trainer. I've taught boot camps. I've done all that stuff. And I went to this thing and I was like, okay, it's been a second. And the guy, I think his name's Tom, he runs it's his space. He reminded me so much of my brother that like I kind of had a sentimental experience there, but I let him push me harder than I wanted to be pushed, because he just reminded me of my brother. And but it's like CrossFit meets this weird cycling thing, and I really thought I was gonna like really lose my lunch in front of all these.
Well, you gave me an idea to suggest to Garrett for his next song. Garrett has a great song that it's a great workout song called "Sweat and Testify." Garrett, we got to do "Throw Up and Testify." What do you think?
Yeah.
I think it's a hit.
Yeah, that'll be the surefire hit for next season. I'm quite sure of that. No.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So after going
testify
through,
till you puke.
Puke and testify. Sort of like, there we go. So,
yeah. Bulimia meets calisthenics.
So what do they have you do in this this new Fight Club type of workout?
Fight bike is it's very much like I said. It's sort of like a hybrid of a spin class and CrossFit. But the bikes, they're like those old school bikes that you usually see, like, you know, like the 80s ladies in, like in their unitard working out with like the kind of the Nordic hands or stationary bikes. But they have like the Nordic handles as well. So you do like a series on that, intervals on that. And then you go out and you do CrossFit style weight training, and they interject different like cardio than that. And I think they have different, like each class is a little different, but that was the gist of it. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to be no problem. Like I'm great at spinning, but that like old school bike was like, that was no joke. And so I definitely had a moment of, but, and you know, what's really funny is like, I'm such the bargain shopper that I can't waste this good deal. Like I have to go back tomorrow. Like I'm not going to let that slip through my fingers. I'm going to utilize it. So
I love it.
I'll let you know how it goes in 21 days if I survive it.
Are you going to do like before and after pictures and all that?
You know, I actually thought about it. But you know, based off of, you know, what the conversation we were just having, I really do my best to encourage people to focus more on their inner life. And
sure.
So I really keep the emphasis less on the body today and more on developing a rich inner life. So I'm mindful of like putting too much emphasis on like, got to exercise. I'm doing it because it's fun. And my relationship with sort of exercise and nutrition today is that I do it. I do my best to eat well and exercise so I'm not distracted. So I can do what it is I feel inspired to do, which I can't always do if I feel lethargic or if I'm distracted by. And because I acknowledge that, like, listen, I have some body dysmorphia. Like I'm very much like if I gain weight, I'm very distracted by it. And I know that. And so I don't have to like try to – I'm doing my best to – accept that and work with it. And so when like the crazy voice comes up being like, oh my God, you're fat. You're going to have to either like lose the weight or kill yourself. Those are the only two viable options that, you know, I have to acknowledge the voice and not take action on it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But yeah, anyways, but because of that's my history and I feel really inspired to support other people and healing their relationship with that sort of, unrealistic or overly exercised, you know, that fixation with the muscles and the no fat thing. I do my best to keep most of the stuff I put out about, you know, meditation or like learning to work with that voice and how to move through feelings of unworthiness and stuff like that. So,
well, tell us more about the stuff you're doing for people's inner lives. Cause I watched some of your podcasts, which are great. And I come from that school back in, oh God, I'm totally dating myself, but in the 80s, I was going to the very beginning sessions that Louise Hay and Marianne Williamson were having in West Hollywood and Course in Miracles. And, you know, and of course, in those days, we were dealing with the AIDS crisis. But a lot of those spiritual principles I heard coming out of you, you know, talking to people, you know, about their inner lives. What led you to that? And what is that mission?
Well, almost 7 years ago, I founded what then was Project Service LA. Today, we've changed the name. It's Inspire Spiritual Community. And it was after workout had ended. I was in a, like I mentioned, I was newly sober. I was a year sober. I was in a really codependent relationship that I needed to get out of. I was in therapy, but I wasn't really working any kind of like recovery program, and I needed to get out. So what I did is I took the opportunity to start a line of fitness studios in Seattle, Washington. And this was right when the recession was just about to body slam America. And
Let's start a new business now. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Well, I didn't know. What it was an escape route out of my old relationship, I think, in retrospect, if I'm being honest. So I had some money left over from the show. I had a few endorsement deals that paid me more money than they probably should have to pitch products. But so I got out. I paid all my debts in Los Angeles. I gave away my entire client list to other trainers. And I moved to Seattle, and within a week, my investor disappeared, and I lost every cent. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it was something. So I was staying in my grandparents' guest room in Renton, Washington, just south of Seattle. And I kind of just had that coming to God moment. I was at a fork in the road, and I knew it was either I was going to use this experience to catapult me into a new approach to living, or I was going to be victimized by the world and I was going to really start this whole narrative, ain't it awful? So I decided to use this as a new start, a fresh start. And I knew that what was crucial, what was absolutely necessary, was that I developed some sort of meditation practice. And that's what I did. I got back to Los Angeles. I had a really great group of friends that took care of me as I got my bearings back. I started to explore meditation. I was volunteering in Buddhist bookstores. I was doing everything that I could that was free. Because before, you know, I went to every like life coach, shaman, guru. I went to yoga retreats. I sweated it out. I went vegan. I did all these things. And my big takeaway was, you know, finding God in Los Angeles is very expensive. And I didn't have any money. So I had to do everything. I really had to cultivate my own practice. And what began to happen was I felt really good. And I didn't have the TV show anymore. I didn't have the money. I didn't have the hot boyfriend. I didn't even have my own place. And I felt better than I had in years. And I knew I was onto something. So I wanted to create something for LGBTQ people that could give them the tools that I was using so they could transcend the belief of what a lot of people think has to happen in order to be happy. Because, you know, a lot of people think, I need to get that gig, then I'll be happy. When I'm making this amount of money, then I'll let myself be happy. When I get the boyfriend, when I get the house, when I get the part, then I'm going to be happy. But really, it's so much more empowering, and life gets to be so much more fulfilling, and the journey gets to be so much more fulfilling when we take the stance of, I'm going to be happy, and see what grows from that. So that's what happened. And what I did is we started having spiritual services every Sunday out of gay bars in West Hollywood. And we started at East West Lounge, and then East West Lounge closed. And so we moved to Here Lounge, which recently closed. And we were at Here Lounge for about 3 years. So for 4.5 years, every Sunday, we would get together and have a spiritual service out of these gay bars, and it just grew and grew. And now we're in our own center, and we're going on 7 years, and we're expanding all over the globe. We developed teacher training programs, ministerial certification programs. We offer classes throughout the week, and services on Sundays have completely blown up. You know, we're outgrowing our space now. So it's really catching on. And it's a really beautiful thing because we're sort of, I think the first couple of years, what we had to do was heal a lot of the wounds left by organized religion in the LGBTQ community. And the first 2-3 years was really dedicated to that. And once we transcended that, we were able to open up the conversation a little bit more and begin to really teach people how to have and develop a spiritual practice that works for them, you know, meditation and, you know, some people turn to yoga and prayer and all that stuff. And so we empowered people to develop their own relationship with something greater than themselves. And what has resulted is a beautiful community, a great support system, and I'm seeing people transform their lives. And it's really, this is the work. Eventually, you know, I'd been blessed, like I said, to do television shows while I was building this, but it got to the place where I really thought, you know, this is the work that really makes me happy. This really feeds my soul. And the television work doesn't really do that. And so I made an agreement with the universe and said, listen, I'm going to fully focus on this. I'm going to see where this path takes me. And when it's time, if it's time, I'm totally open to doing TV or film or whatever again, but it's going to be easy. It's going to feel like something that inspires me, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's where I'm at today. And I get lots of opportunities to share my stuff, do that. The new podcast, which is why I'm here today, I think, to talk about it, grew out of that. And that took off like lightning. I had no idea. Like, I didn't even know people knew about it. I didn't really do any promotion. I wanted to get more content before I really started to push it. But we're getting, you know, hundreds of downloads a day, which is, I think, a really great sign that people are interested, especially in the LGBTQ community, to have this conversation and to transcend, like we were talking about, a lot of those social ideas, those social barriers that feel constrictive and unloving and painful, and to let go of the past, release any victimization that we carry from the past, heal those wounds, and create a new vision of what's possible for the LGBTQ community.
Well, you jump, and the podcasts are great. The one thing you kind of jumped over real quick here, which I know you have some podcasts on that address it specifically, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about it, is the damage that organized religion has done to LGBTQ people, because it really is in itself the evolvement of that organized religion has become sort of, in my mind, the Antichrist. It is the anti of what everything the Christ principles really should be about, and turned very much to focus on our community. I mean, we have been the target for decades of that vitriol and pretty much reverse principles of everything that should be in spirituality. So whatever I haven't just talked about, why don't you pick that up, Jesse? What are the things that you point out to people on that?
Well, you know, it took me 2 years before I would even say the word God, you know, at Inspire, because I could feel the resistance to it, because it is so not an uncommon LGBTQ experience to have reached a point in our youth in which we knew we had to choose between honoring the God that we grew up with or living an authentic life. And so many of us felt like we had to divorce the God we learned about at church, that we learned about from the pulpit, because it was made clear there wasn't room for us in that house. Now, thankfully, a lot of churches have learned to evolve with society. And so this is less of an experience, but it still happens. It still happens. And so how we worked with it, and I'll actually use an example during the marriage equality movement, specifically Prop 8 in California. When that was really going down, you know, we used it as an opportunity to heal our own internalized homophobia. And how we did that was we listened, and if we felt activated, if we felt triggered or upset by anything that was being said by the people who seemed to oppose us, then that was sort of an invitation to explore what belief systems and what thoughts we still held inside ourselves that might make us think that maybe they're true, maybe they're right. And that's why we get activated and angry, because we think that maybe there's some truth in it, or we're afraid that they have a hand up on us. And there's all that resentment and viciousness from the past. But if you think about it today, if someone came up to you and said, oh my God, you know what? You're purple with pink polka dots. You would be like, all right, I know that's not true, so thank you. I'm going to move on here. So if there's any part of us that still has that internalized homophobia, we're going to be activated when someone says things that is mirroring that internalized homophobia back to us. So we were able to use what was being said as an opportunity to heal our own wounds so that we could stand in a loving space and support them in healing themselves, because never, ever have I just felt so good about myself, have I been in so much love that I decided to go and attack another person to try to ruin someone else's day because I just felt so good. That always comes anytime we attack. It comes from a place of fear. It comes from a place of confusion, of not understanding. And so then when we know that, we can start developing compassion, true compassion. And we don't have to hate them back. We don't have to hate them more than they hate us. We can actually love them. We can hold the space that they understand that we're all one, that of course we are all entitled to the same rights, the same benefits as everybody else. And that's what we did. And so we were able to heal our own internal homophobia, develop a deeper practice of compassion, and hold the space for America United. And I think that that's what happened on a national scale and why we see marriage equality now, because we believed we deserved it. We did enough healing work to be able to hold the space for that. And it's the same experience when healing the wounds from organized religion. We just have to be able to, one, heal any belief that they're right, that the homophobia that was preached from the pulpit, that there's any validity in that. We have to be able to heal that belief first. Once we can do that, then we can hold the space to practice forgiveness and compassion to the people who haven't figured that out yet, you know. And any foundation, any philosophical foundation that is steeped in love, I believe, has the potential for enlightenment. Any philosophy that has a foundation of love is a path to self-realization if the philosophy is accurately practiced. But love is not cruel. You know, love never attacks. And so if there's a part of your philosophy that encourages or teaches attack, then you know that there needs to be a shift in the trajectory of your practice, right? And so we can know that, and we can hold that space, and then we don't have to take it personally. We just understand that if there's attack, it's coming from fear, and we understand what it's like to be afraid. We can understand that. We can empathize with that enough to give them the space and hold the space and support them in transforming. So what I tell everyone is you have to come out of the spiritual closet. Now, that doesn't mean we have to make a proclamation or, you know, some big, you know, call your parents and tell them, Mom and Dad, there's something I have to tell you. I'm spiritual now. I'm the same child you always had. I just meditate a lot more and I wear beads. But, you know, it's about living a good life. Teach people. A Course in Miracles, which is a text that I teach from a lot, says that we teach through our demonstration. And so coming out of a spiritual closet, and this is how we begin to really heal the wounds left by organized religion in a major way, by just living a good life, an abundant life, and practicing loving kindness to the best of our ability and moving through fearful thoughts when they arrive in ourselves, this is how we begin to shift the experience that we have in every area of our life. This is how we heal the wounds from the past. This is how we extend the hand of generosity and forgiveness. And this is how we create change both in our minds and our hearts. And then we begin to experience that in the world, because our thoughts and our feelings create the world we experience. You know, it's all an outer reflection of an inner condition. So as long as we do the work to forgive ourselves, love ourselves, then, you know, love's contagious. And right. That's the work we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. One thing that occurred to me as you were talking was how, for example, I identify myself, and I'll be honest, part of it is because I'm obstinate, but I identify myself as being a gay dad Christian. And the reason I do is because I am not going to let go of Christianity because it has been in the hands of people who have abused it. I'm not going to allow that, if you will. But
the other part of it is I'm
just sort of struck how the things that you just described, especially the part where, you know, if we have to lash, it is, you know, it's actually something we have to heal within ourselves. And I think about Jesus's mandate about turn the other cheek, which is sort of one of the high ideals that he laid out in his ministry that virtually nobody follows. I mean, it's like you go to all the Christian churches or whatever, nobody there says, walk out. If somebody hits you, turn the other cheek. Nobody says that. They don't tell you to do that. But what you just hit upon was kind of that higher level of understanding, because that's exactly what you were just saying. You know, that's the outpicture of, you know, when you want to lash, it's something you need to heal in yourself. So it's like when somebody attacks, you don't need to lash. You can turn the other cheek, not in weakness and not in victimization, but in that didn't affect me. Here's the other one. You know, so I think that's hugely powerful. You mentioned Course in Miracles. What other sources do you tend to derive from?
You know, we sort of identify as a trans-denominational congregation, meaning that our congregants are a beautiful, diverse array of people, both culturally. We have a great array of men and women and trans men and women, of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, and even allies. And they also are diverse in the philosophical backgrounds in which they all come from. And what we do is we really celebrate the uniqueness of everyone's experience while exploring what connects us all. And really, it could be said that we teach a philosophy of love. And we pull from A Course in Miracles is something I'm actually ordained through A Course in Miracles fellowship in San Francisco. That's where I hold one of my ordinations from. But we also teach a lot of New Thought and Science of Mind, which the baseline idea, if I was going to very simplify it, is that our thoughts are creative. So what we're thinking about, what we're focusing on, is what we're experiencing in life, is what we're creating out there in the world, which makes us take full responsibility for the world around us, especially takes full responsibility for our own lives and our own path.
That's wonderful. We had an author on, I think it was our last show, named Preston Grant, who wrote a book called Gay Explained. And it's a book that covers a lot of the gay experience, including he touches on his opinions on spirituality. And I'm just wondering, from your perspective, his point in the book, and my reason for asking this question, is that he feels that gay people are here for a reason. Spiritually, that the LGBT perspective in the realm of spirituality is to uplift it and look at things differently. And the points that you are making up here in where I live, we have Inner Light Ministries with Reverend Deborah Johnson, who has a channeled work. She does very, very in concert with and harmonious with Course in Miracles and Science of Mind. And, you know, all of these inspirations are coming. Even he's being very quiet here, but Garrett Miller's album, Blonde Jesus, has some really wonderful principles. The song I Am is really, really powerful. And these are all coming out of the LGBTQ sensibilities with spirituality. Do you think that is our calling, our purpose?
I don't know. I really don't know. I definitely understand that. I definitely believe that the LGBTQ experience is a unique one that few of us get to enjoy. I definitely enjoy being gay and having all of the wonderful, I so value all of the experiences that I've had as a result of that, because of that. And I also feel like sometimes we try to make our specific experience special so we can understand it. But everyone's experience is special. But I do believe that, listen, there's no coincidences. I don't believe in coincidence at all. And so is the LGBTQ community here for a special reason to add something specifically unique? How could we not be? We are specifically unique as it stands right now. And so it makes sense to me. That point makes a lot of sense to me. I just haven't really contemplated it that much. Yeah, I mean, I think that I focus so much on the oneness of love that, yeah, I mean, I see both sides. Sure, why not? I like that. I like that idea that we're here to, you know, contribute something very special and specific. Why not?
So, shifting gears a little bit, Jesse, you work with pets and animals. How does that work?
You know, it's funny. I love my dogs. I love my dogs so much. My dog, Sam, who is 16 years old now, has been with me my entire adult life and has truly taught me about selflessness and non-judgment, forgiveness. He's taught me all those things, and he really taught me how to be a loving man. And so I love my dogs so much. I take a lot of pictures. And so I got approached to write a whole series of articles about being a good pet owner. And now everyone thinks I'm a pet expert. So I don't know if I am a pet expert. I think I'm as much of a pet expert as my mom is a parenting expert, you know. But a lot of the tips that I offer and the things that I put out there are just really they're just common sense tips. Like, if you go hiking with your dog and it's 100 degrees out, maybe find another activity to do, or at least make sure you have lots of water, you know. Read the labels of the food you give your dogs. You can tell if they like it if they eat it. You know, maybe if they're lethargic and lying around the house, then you need to consider changing the diet. Check their skin. You know, all this stuff. But people, I got to tell you, it's really funny. Like, I put so much work, and this is so true to so many things in life. I put so much work on doing like the spiritual blogs and doing all the spiritual work, and the pet stuff just came so easily because I just kind of wrote about my dogs and how great they are and all that stuff. And it's like going viral, you know, like they're like, we've had over 1,000 downloads in one day of this one, you know, this one article. I was like, are you kidding me? Really? I'm like, all right. Yes, I'm a dog expert now. I absolutely am an expert in all things pets. And but yeah, no. So it's sort of this wild experience I'm having. But I will say this: everyone that has met my dog Sammy always says that he's a monk. We used to call him the monk. And I never had to walk the dog on a leash. Nothing. He's just the best, well-behaved dog. I've never had to yell at him. I think I heard him bark maybe like 10 times his entire life. And the only time I only lost him one time, and it was when I was at the park. And I was frantically looking around for him. And when I found him, he was sitting back to back with the one dude that was meditating in the park. And I thought, of course. Of course, that's where he is.
Oh, my gosh. Jesse, I could interrupt, but you guys are having such a great conversation. So I'm just sitting here enjoying the show. So thank you. You're all over the place. Where do you like people to connect with you? Because you've got your website, you've got your podcast, you've got your YouTubes. Where do you like to interact most?
Most people can find anything that I do on my website, which is jessebrune.com, JessebrunE.com. The podcast, which is called Gay and Spiritual. I decided not to get clever with the title. Just tell them what it is. Gay and Spiritual can be found on iTunes, but you can also find the link to that and recordings on my website as well. And then if you are in the LA area and are interested in checking out Inspire Spiritual Community, it's just the name.org, inspirespiritualcommunity.org. And we have services every Sunday. We're actually adding one because we're running out of space. So starting in mid-September, we'll be at 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m. in West Hollywood. And we have stuff during the week as well. So, but if when in doubt, jessebrune.com.
There we go. Rob, any last questions?
When in doubt, jessebrune.com.
I'm sorry. What
Rob, do you want to ask any last question before we let Jesse run? We've kept him a little bit longer than what we've promised him, so I want to make sure we're respectful of his time as well.
Jesse, what haven't we asked that we should have asked?
Yeah, let me tell you something. You're giving me the opportunity to talk, which my husband will attest to is you're playing with fire because, you know, as you can tell, I'll just go on and on and on. So it's probably good that you're cutting me off.
Well, we want to have you back. So and next time, we're going to warn you ahead of time. We want you for the full hour so that way you can plan your schedule accordingly. But we really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. By the way, anybody who's listening live tonight, I've got links to Jesse's Inspire Spiritual Community Facebook page. I've also put a link to Jesse's podcast/ his website. So if you weren't able to write it down, all you got to do is go click, 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 and you're going to be connected all over the place. So that is very easy to do.
Just logistically, you'll send me a link to the show so I can blast it all over the place too?
Yeah, totally. And it's the same link that's on my Facebook page right now. So if you want to share that, anybody who's listening and say, you've got to tune in to listen to Jesse. Well, now, you know, it's right there for you too. But Jesse, I'll make sure I get you a link before the show is over as well. And I appreciate you taking your time. Have a great night.
Of course,
it was
beyond my pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Oh, really
appreciate thank you. We even had barfing stories and it was still fun.
Barfing? So. Yeah, it was great. Okay, we're going to do a little 30-second break for our friends at Rainbow Brew out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we'll be right back right after this.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
There we go. That was so much fun. You know, sometimes,
that was
Rob,
great.
You know, I've got questions that I'm ready to ask our guests, but then you get going and I'm like, I'm so interested in what Rob's asking. I don't think I want to, you know, I did, because I was going to ask him, you know, tell us about your dogs. You know, and I'm glad you brought that up at the end, but that was going to be my riveting question for the interview because, you know, I'm the big dog fan.
But you need to jump in there. It's like, I'm, you know,
that's fine. If it feels like I want to jump in, I'll jump in, but it's like, I was enjoying that too much. So thanks for Jesse.
You know me, I have this absolute phobia of dead air on radio. So.
Are you kidding me? You're talking to me. Like, you know, we're going to let dead air come between interesting people like Jesse and you. I don't think that's going to ever happen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We have so much more we can talk to him about. I definitely want to have Jesse back sometime when we can spend more time.
No, I just find it fascinating because so much of the things that I was hearing in his podcast, I hear in your music. I mean, there's definitely a through line between the two of you guys philosophically. So,
and isn't that funny? You know, and honestly, this sounds so funny, but Jesse, I'm so sorry. I know you're listening. I've never heard of Jesse before. And I just saw something come up on my Facebook, you know, feed. And I'm like, he just sounds really interesting. We've got to get him on the show. And, you know, here we are. And he's got reality TV. He's got this great ministry. He's, you know, has all this interesting background. I should know. And that's another reason why I love it when we have guests on, because it's always a surprise. They always have something that's new. And, you know, I might think that I know, and then they come around and tell a story that you're like, well, where did that come from? That didn't come up in the research. We didn't get that answer first.
Speaking of that, I have a perfect segue. Because next week we are talking to Matt Parker, who is he's an author and he's a realtor, as in somebody who sells houses. And Matt, I had on my show out in Santa Cruz. And the reason I had him on that show was we were going to talk, or we did talk about how he recommends that if a couple, like same-sex couple or otherwise, is going to buy a house, that they get married and do that. And they not just kind of, you know, oh, you're kind of cute. Let's go buy a house. You know, that he gave some very solid reasons why that is probably not a wise thing to do. But it was such a fascinating conversation and he is so smart about so many things, and I won't give them away because he is going to be our guest next week. But really interesting things about living and your home and considerations and values, and just it's going to be a great show.
So that's next Thursday with Mr. Matt Parker. So yeah, that's totally cool. So Rob, it's been a hot minute since we've talked. You've had an Out in Santa Cruz. What's coming up on this week's Out in Santa Cruz that everybody needs to know about so they can tune in live Saturday night at 7 o'clock?
Well, actually, I'm going to backtrack on it. It's a show I'm going to ask you personally, that if you happen to be around and can call in and
I can't,
give
I have
your
plans.
Opinion on, we would love to have it. But the show, I'm actually have a kind of a special guest co-host, good friend of both yours and mine, Scott Fullerton of Left of Straight. Scott is going
to
join me.
He's starting season two now too.
Yeah, and we are going to pick on the new show, Finding Prince Charming. And you've heard about that, right?
Well, it's basically The Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Boy Meets Boy, you know, because we've all seen these shows. Yeah.
Exactly. So we are going to take a look at this show that is exactly what you just described. The center of attention, the Prince Charming / Bachelor, et cetera, his rent boy and kinky porn past has been revealed. And
oh, my.
Talk about reactions to that. Also, we're going to look at the factor that's kind of unique about this situation in that when they have the Bachelorette and the Bachelor show, of which, by the way, I'm not a fan of that whole process or anything about it. But when they did that, at least the Bachelor, for example, had a house full of women who were all vying for him. So the question is, when you have a house full of gay men and one gay man that is kind of the anointed one, what's to say the other gay men aren't going to get like interested in each other?
It was forbidden. It cannot happen. There's a law.
Yeah, my heart follows that law all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that one over there, that one's forbidden. Don't get a crush on him.
Okay.
Yes, that one.
Oh, then that's the one I'm going to get the crush on.
Exactly.
Don't touch it. That's a burner.
I dare you.
I'm going to touch it. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. So that's our subject. We're going to talk about that and other things. But good time for Scott Fuller and I to kibitz, and we'll talk about Left of Straight and what's going on with his projects, and we'll have a good time.
Good for you guys. That'll be fun. I would love to join you, but I'm in acting class on Saturday afternoon, and then I have a dinner with a client on Saturday night, so I will not be home until long after your show is over, so I apologize.
I know you guys
will have a great show.
Yeah, a call in from, you know, Mr. Gay Wedding on Prince Charming's would be, you know, and plus unlike you, I mean, you have a great song out about, you know, the complexity of a relationship, and
yes,
certainly these shows are sort of minimize that. So
everybody thinks, if you want to get married, I'm all for it. And I don't care if you're gay or straight or whatever. If it makes you happy, that's good. But, you know, when you're in a relationship, you always want to be single. When you're single, you always want to be in the relationship. And so the grass is always greener on the other side. And so I just never understand these people who are so desperate to, I just can't be alone, you know, for like a second. And it is always so funny because I have people that now that I've been single for, what's going on, 4 years, this year, people are like, I can't believe you don't have, somebody that you're going out with. And why don't you? And it's like, so am I a lesser person now because I choose to respect other people by not inflicting me upon them after, because I'm great for like 2 or 3 hours. Rob, you know this, I'm great to be, to hang around and go do something with. But at the end of that, my attention span and desire to be around anybody is done. I don't care if you're the most interesting person in the world. I'm done. I've got to go do something else. And then the other person's left going, well, what's wrong with me? Aren't I good enough, strong enough? Didn't I take my vitamins like Hulk Hogan said to do? And you go through that. It's like, no, I'm done. You know,
see, I knew that going in. So I knew it's like, okay, I've got Garrett for coffee for this
for
afternoon.
Now.
And then I got to take off because, you know, we don't need to see the, you know, clock strike 12 and
right.
The pumpkin
the,
emerge.
The glass zipper falls, you know, the whole thing. No, it's just,
yeah,
it's,
thing,
I just,
one quick point on the thing you just said, because I've talked to so many people about that principle, because I really do think it is a desires of mutually exclusive situations that we're in at the same time. We want two things that are absolutely mutually exclusive. And
mm-hmm.
when we have one, we no longer desire it because we have it and it satisfies.
Yeah.
It's like
exactly.
hunger that's dead. And
uh-huh.
I think that's what happens, what you just described. So anyway.
Well, you know, and for everybody who likes being in relationships, I think that's really awesome. And there's nothing that makes me happier than seeing two people that really enjoy being together and really enjoy, you know, collaborating and doing all of that. But nothing's worse than seeing a couple who you know is like putting on a front or is just ready to rip the other person's head off, you know, has that, hello, I'm calling you home, smile, or, you know, things like that. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, I'm just not interested in doing that ever again.
Right. Right. So,
if anybody's curious,
know,
I'm not looking.
You do not
head.
Know how many hearts you just broke in all our, I hear the cry out in our listen to.
They should be crying joys, screams of joy
true.
For the fact that, you know, he's not going to break up with me in 6 months because we're not dating for 6 months. There you go. You should be screaming joys, you know, screams of joy for that. But
uh-oh, wait a minute. I just got a call. Sandra Bullock is burning her T-shirt. Hmm.
She's not burning her T-shirt. That girl's keeping that T-shirt.
And just so people don't know, there was a photo circulating Facebook of our own Garrett Miller on a T-shirt on the body of
Sandra Bullock's
Bullock.
Wearing a Blonde Jesus tank top, and that's just going crazy. But you know, she's had that for a hot minute, so you know, I'm sure she's wearing it out to TJ Maxx. Kohl's and Ralph's whenever she's out going, you know, to the grocery store. So
yeah. Well, she wears you well. You
yeah,
wear well.
She does wear me well.
Yeah.
I think we should be in a new movie together, Speed 17 or something like that. We'll see.
There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, by the way, for everybody who's listening, tomorrow morning on the Friday dance party, it's no longer a Friday night dance party, at least not tomorrow, because starting at 7 a.m., are you ready to get freaky at 7 a.m.? Well, you're going to tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time because my guest is Jerry Hall. He's live from the UK. He is doing me a huge favor by doing the show at 7 because the second the show is over tomorrow, I've got a race to go meet a new website client, and then I'm doing a photo shoot for another client tomorrow afternoon. And so I said, you know, Jerry, I need you to do the show early. So we're going to be doing a two-hour show first thing in the morning, 7 o'clock, and we're going to be featuring a couple new songs that he has out. You know him from being on Chat and Spin Radio across the pond. That's where the Friday night dance party is syndicated every week, Friday night midnight on Chat and Spin. But Jerry's a frequent guest on there, but he's been on the show here before, and I could just talk to Jerry for hours. He's like you. I could just sit and, you know, have a conversation with him for an hour and not even blink an eye. And so I'm really excited he's back for a second time this summer. And that is really unusual to have a musical guest back the same time in like a, you know, 12, 16 week period. And Jerry's back tomorrow morning. So I'm really grateful for that. We got about a minute left, Rob. What, any closing thoughts that you want to leave with the listeners tonight besides thanking them for joining the Rated LGBT Radio Facebook fan page?
Yeah, keep it up. Tell your friends, spread it around. We love you. And I'm very, very grateful for your presence and your support. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. Go to jessebrune.com, B-R-U-N-E, J-E-S-S-E, B-R-U-N-E. That's where you're going to find his podcast. You'll find out about him. You can even donate to him to help keep the, you know, keep the fire burning. And we appreciate him taking time out of his schedule. We'll be back next week again. Our guest will be Mr. Matt Parker talking about buying a home and all the things that you should be doing. In the meantime, make sure to tune in to Rob's show, OutInSantaCruz.com, or you can catch, you know, 1080 a.m. if you're in the Santa Cruz area, but OutInSantaCruz.com tomorrow night on Saturday night, and that is, you know, Pacific Standard Time. So everybody have a great rest of your week. Follow the show. We're on iTunes as a podcast under the global umbrella Rated G Radio, and don't drive distracted. We'll see you next week on Rated LGBT Radio.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.